Greetings, everyone, and praise be Jesus Christ. Amidst the many storefront churches that speckle the streets of Philadelphia, there is one that caught my eye many years ago, and it has never gone away. It wasn't the red and white sign that captured my attention, but rather the name of this church. This little storefront church at 2129 72nd Street in West Oak Lane. The name? The Church of Broken Pieces. That name has never left my mind since 2007, and I think of it often as I visit the sick, as I speak to people in need, as I hear confessions, and quite honestly, as I examine my conscience at the end of every day. The Church of Broken Pieces. I see it in the headlines, especially in regards to church news. I see it, of course, in the secular news that is so tragic today. And as depressing as that name might be, I like its realness, its rawness. And the risen Christ is all about that. The gospel that we just heard, John 20, is a magnificent display of a church of broken pieces. And on this Divine Mercy Sunday, the lesson, the paradigm, the standard that we find in this gospel is the standard for each and every one of us. Certainly, that brokenness is profound. Consider the scene of that upper room. It's day 3 after Christ has been crucified. Night has fallen, and so too has each one of his closest friends. One still hangs from a tree. The others have necks that are hanging in shame. In this upper room, where just 72 hours before he had washed their feet, he had given his body and his blood. And now, in this very room, the blood is thick. The shame and the guilt is deep. And I like to imagine that the silence is real, not just for fear of the Jews who might hear them, but it's that cold silence that comes often from sin. It's the cold silence that is captured in Dante's Inferno, as we find Satan in the pit of hell, not in fire, but in ice. And into this cold upper room comes the magnificent of our risen Lord. He speaks a word of peace. He shows them his wounds, his broken body. He speaks peace to them again. And he says that as the Father sent him, so they too will be sent. He breathes on them and offers words, power of forgiveness. And as if all of that was not enough, because Thomas wasn't there, he comes back the next week to do the same. In fact, there's a sense in this gospel that the risen Lord never leaves. He will be with them forever. A few notes. On this second Sunday of Easter, it's very clear that Jesus Christ not only came back from the dead, but he came back for his friends. Friends who are very much in need of him. Friends who he is still very much interested in. And that's a wonderful thing, that Jesus came back for them. Number two, it's very clear that there's a work, there's a mission that he's sharing with them, that he's involving them in, that he's choosing to use them for. And it's a work, it's a mission of healing and recreating. Just as God breathed on the waters at the beginning of creation and did something, so too he's doing something now, breathing on them, recreating and healing them for mission. What has begun in the resurrection is Christianity. What has begun is a 40-day formation of them being with him and him being with them. As risen Lord, in his bones, with his body, touching them, eating with them, teaching them, and hopefully them learning from him. Finally, this work and this mission is divine mercy. It's what changes the world. We have such a beautiful contrast today from the gospel, where there's the church of broken pieces, to the first reading in Acts of the Apostles, the church very much alive, on mission, the church healed, the church going forth. And my friends, you and I are members of that same church. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the work of God's mercy, that one church has reached us some 2,000 years later and some 2,000 miles away. The work is a work of mercy, of mission. Mercy is what happens in that upper room. Jesus not avoiding sin and shame, but Jesus saying to them and to us, I know you, I love you. I love you and I liberate you. Liberate it, now live me. That's mercy. Mercy is God saying to each one of us, in regards to our worst sin, I know that, and I love you. I love you, and I liberate you. I liberate you so you can live me. My friends, the words of the risen one are all about that. And the window in which we through which we can receive this mercy of God is trust. It was not even 100 years ago in 1931 that a Polish nun, Maria Faustina Kowalska of the Blessed Sacrament, saw Jesus Christ. He told her to paint this image of his body, of his risen body, his sacred heart, which has streams of water, pale of blood red, coming forth. And he specifically said, put these words with that image. Jesus, I trust in you. This was 9 years before and 37 miles away from what would become a place of wretched horror, concentration camps of Birkenau and Auschwitz. 9 years before, 37 miles away, God, the risen one, speaking words of mercy. My friends, how close, how near that risen one is to us. Trust him. Entrust him with your life. And then, and only then, will you know Easter. God be with you today.